Good morning. I'm Rachel Jones. I am currently at Northeastern University School of Nursing. I want to thank APHA for this wonderful convention, and it's an honor to be at the same panel with my fellow colleagues. What I'm going to be speaking about for the next few minutes, I would very much like you to consider trying this on for size, and we invite you to try our soap opera video series and see if you would like to use it in your own settings. So what I'm going to talk about is soap opera videos that are streamed to smartphones in a randomized controlled trial to reduce HIV risk in young, urban, African-American, black women. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. This research has been supported by the National Institute of Nursing Research, National Library of Medicine, and the Healthcare Foundation of New Jersey. I probably don't need to stress this because everybody in this audience, I believe, is quite familiar, but just to reinforce that new HIV infections among black women are 20 times that of white women and 4 times that of Latina, yet black women are no more likely to engage in unprotected sex or have multiple partners than their white counterparts, but are more likely to have sex partners who are at higher risk. And higher HIV prevalence in black communities is attributed to stigma, structural, and racial disparities. This slide from the CDC is very, very important because it graphically depicts women with AIDS attributed to heterosexual contact by race, and the purple line is black women. And this slide is important because if you look in the middle and see heterosexual contact, for women, unprotected sex is the transmission route for 9 out of 10 women infected. So the good news is that it's entirely preventable, and the bad news is the slide before us, that we see infection on the rise. Now, this work today that we're reporting on, and I must acknowledge my colleagues, Lorraine LaCroix, who's our project director and for whom this work couldn't have happened, and Don Hoover, our biostatistician. The formative studies that led to this work we're reporting on today indicated that women had unprotected sex with partners they believed engaged in risk behaviors. Now, wait a minute. We keep telling women to have accurate perceptions of their partners' risk behaviors, and in our formative studies, we found women knew their men were stepping out, and they still had unprotected sex with them. So we took a pause and said, we've got to figure this out, and then held a series after quantitative studies, qualitative studies. And we found that patterns of unprotected sex among women in the community showed the importance of unprotected sex to win and hold on to a man. And unprotected sex was a way of showing trust, not necessarily trusting him, but showing him you trust him, and there's a difference. So we figured, you know, this really could work well with soap operas, and I remember in the early dawn of the HIV/AIDS epidemic working as a nurse in high-risk labor and delivery, and there'd be all hell breaking out in the labor and delivery ward, but the ward clerk would be there with her little TV set, it was pre-smartphone, and would be watching her novellas, her soap operas, no matter what was going on, and on a small screen. The theoretical framework of this work is sex scripts, which is a socially shared meanings about sex behavior. And Elizabeth Ann Barrett's Power, not power over, but power as knowing participation in change, meaning being aware of what one chooses to do, feeling the freedom to act intentionally, and being involved in creating the changes that one intends to make. I mean, we all participate in change, but not always in a knowing manner. So we synthesized these two theories on the basis of a series of focus groups and content analysis, and found lower power sex scripts. So there were women whose risks of HIV were buried under an awareness of oneself as having to satisfy a man and accept his cheating. And a lot of women were saying, as long as he comes home to me at night, you got to do what you got to do. and all the things that he was doing for her, making it worth it for her to take this risk. And then there were higher power sex scripts, same group, women coming from the same public housing development, coming from the same neighborhood center, same daycare center parents, and they were not going to ever get infected because they had an expanded awareness of one's own value as a woman, recognizing there's choices and engaging the will to pursue these choices. So from the perspective of this framework, if women are more powerful, meaning they're more aware of themselves as worthy of respect, make choices with intention, and feel free to pursue their intentions and involve themselves in creating change, they're less likely to follow a lower power sex script of unprotected sex with a high-risk partner. So we really need to popularize these higher power sex scripts, don't we? By popularizing higher power sex scripts and associating these with familiar scripts, new health-promoting behaviors are more likely to be adopted. The health promotion messages are designed to satisfy these needs while promoting health. This comes from the work of Stacy and his team, very exciting work of associating health-promoting behaviors by satisfying the needs, once you identify them, of the unhealthy behaviors. And that we have these sex scripts, and we've just got to be able to have new sex scripts. So why soap operas? Well, the stories are grounded in urban women's own experiences, and the women identify with the heroine's process of change. And our messages to reduce HIV risk fulfill familiar relationship needs once we understand what those needs are. Now, we first held a pilot study on handheld computers. That was even before smartphones. And you can see this video. It's 43 minutes long, a story about Tony, Mike, and Valerie. It's been picked up by public health departments in several cities around the country, and it's free and available. Just stream it to your site. Now, the new intervention that we created based on all this formative and pilot work is Love, Sex, and Choices. This is a 12-episode, 15 to 20-minute series that's written and scripted by our study team, and we have a professional filmmaker and cast that auditioned for their roles. Wonderful acting. And the study design is a one-on-one randomized controlled trial comparing Love, Sex, and Choices to another intervention, a 12-week HIV prevention intervention of text messages. And that's very important. We'll come back to that in a moment. Both the groups used study-provided smartphones. The study was conducted at a time when smartphones were not as pervasive as they are right now. Everybody reaches in their pocket and is on their smartphone. But in those days, smartphones were not as accessible to women in the community, and certainly not video accessible. And our outcome that we anticipated was that our participants in the video intervention group would have lower unprotected vaginal and anal sex with high-risk partners at 3 and 6 months post-intervention, and then the text message group. We measured sex risk by the vaginal episode equivalent, which simply is the number of unprotected vaginal acts times the number of partners, plus the unprotected anal acts times the number of partners multiplied by 2 as a relative score showing that anal sex is riskier than vaginal sex. And this is from the work of Susser, Desiroux, and Witkowski. So, and many of you may be familiar with his work too, as he's been so much of a leader in the American Public Health Association. Our participants were 18 to 29-year-old women who had unprotected vaginal or anal sex with men they believed had sex with other women, sex with men, or injected drugs in the past 3 months. We recruited women from Newark, Jersey City, East Orange, and Irvington at public housing, STD clinics, community centers, storefront, and a food pantry in neighborhoods that had a very high incidence of HIV/AIDS. We conducted baseline screening, baseline and post-intervention interviews on AudioCasi. This slide shows that the video intervention group and the text group both received smartphones, And the protocols for the both groups were identical, except for tracking. We could track the viewing time of the video group, and we could watch that they were rewatching. And we also asked them why they were rewatching, and they could select the reason that they were rewatching, because that was of interest to us to see which episodes were the most popular. And our analysis outcome was post-intervention vaginal episode equivalent with high-risk partners, and we log transformed due to skewness, and we analyzed with repeated measures mixed linear models that adjusted for baseline behavior. And here are our results. First of all, we screened 505 women, and that meant that those that screened in, 295 who were eligible, consented, and randomized were women who had unprotected vaginal or anal sex with a partner they perceived engaged in a risk behavior. We lost 57, mostly due to lost cell phones, 238 completed, 117 in the video group and 121 in the text group. Now, what this slide shows, it's kind of a, it's hard to read, of course, but I'll help you. The age at first intercourse, the mean age at first intercourse was about 14. This slide essentially is designed to show you that the text and video group were essentially the same, which you want in a randomized controlled trial. You don't want baseline differences. I will call your attention to male partners. Perceived male partner had sex with men. That means that the women they had sex, women perceived that their male partner had sex with men. In the text group was just about 30%. And in the video group was just about 42%. That was not statistically significantly different, but we did include it in the analysis at the end just in case. All the other sensation-seeking, the sex scripts that we measured, injecting drugs, et cetera, were not different between groups. Almost half the women, and I'm summarizing baseline findings, that is before they had their intervention, almost half the women had unprotected anal sex in the past 3 months with high-risk partners. Half of them had three or more partners in the past 3 months. A surprising number knew or suspected their partners had sex with men, and as I mentioned, 42% in the video group versus 30% in the text arm. Over half the sample had their first intercourse at about 14 years old. And others have had similar findings as far as first intercourse. The geometric mean is really a median. So if you look at the pre- and post-intervention change, what this table shows us are the scores for the text arm and the scores of the, for the video arm. I mean, that, you really are concerned about that. At baseline, roughly, women had roughly 21 in the text arm and 22 in the video arm. Of course, that's not statistically significantly different if, as you don't want it to be, median sex acts. But notice at 3 and 6 months what happens after the intervention. It went down quite a bit, didn't it? From 21 to, at 6 months, roughly 6. And in the video arm, from 22 to roughly 4. And that's after they watch the soap opera video series or receive the text messages on their smartphones. But is there a difference between those results by group? So this is within group difference. But now, is there a difference between intervention groups? And there was not. The P is 0.21. And I want to talk about that in a moment. We did include in the adjusted analysis any variable, sex scripts, et cetera, that may have influenced the results. And really none of them were statistically significant or even close to 0.2 to include in the analysis except for study site, where the most enhanced reduction in risk behavior was found at STD clinics, which is exciting. So sex risk behavior declined by 19% more in the soap opera video group than in the text group. But that 19% was not statistically significant. How did women feel about the videos? they were wildly enthusiastic about them. This is published work, and you can look this work up, and there's an August publication on this. All but four thought the stories were realistic. All but eight could relate to the characters. 90% thought their friends might want to watch, and every single one of them, except for one, wanted the stories to continue. They loved using the phone for the intervention. Now, in conclusion, there was high risk behavior at baseline. The post-intervention risk behavior was statistically significantly reduced in both groups, while the reduction of 19% in the video group over the text group was not statistically significant. Still, the women absolutely loved receiving the video intervention. And I think many of the researchers in this room will understand how difficult it is to find a statistically significant difference between comparison groups rather than having an intervention and a true control. And what we learned and what I want to drive home is when you're doing a study and you have two groups and you want to test one intervention, if it's the other intervention is a comparison group and not a true control, you should really anticipate a small effect size so that you have a larger sample. So I suspect that with the wild popularity of Love, Sex, and Choices and the steep drop and a 20% difference between groups, had we had a larger sample size, we would have been boasting statistically significant difference. But through what we've learned, we have enhanced Love, Sex, and Choices and have added a guide at the end of every episode, which is in the Buddhist mindfulness practice mode, so that we can drive home the messages to women in every single episode and begin to also stress the skill of taking a step back and looking at the behaviors of the women as they go through the kind of emotional issues that women in relationships with male partners go to when we talk about using condoms. So I am going to stop here, and thank you so much for your attention. And please contact us if you would like Love, Sex, and Choices 12 episodes or the pilot video.